All right, I'm excited to share the word with you. We are winding down our study of the Gospel of Mark. In fact, after today, we're not going to pick up this study of Mark until January. So we're going to take a break from that as we go into the Christmas season and have some Christmas messages. But today, we're going to have the last kind of Mark study. Technically, though, I am going to do some Thanksgiving Eve service. We're going to do from Mark as well. But next few Sundays will not be based out of the Gospel of Mark. So one more time, can I have you stand as we read our text this morning from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. In the context of this, as we looked at last week, Jesus comes out of the temple and they say to him, "Hey, Jesus, look at these great stones of this temple." And he says, "I'm telling you, it's all going to come crashing down." And he continues on with that conversation and he says this in Mark 13, 24 through 37. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that you are coming again. Lord, let us receive that promise today. Let it find good soil inside of our hearts to produce a good fruit in our lives. Lord, may we stay awake and long for your coming. Amen. Thank you again for standing and giving attention to the word. You may be seated. This is one of the more important topics of Christianity. It's a very, very important topic, and one that I don't know that I sufficiently remind you of. So I'm going to remind you of it today, and I'm going to emphasize it with a lot of extrapolating of these passages. I want you to know this. This is a fact. This is a reality that we believe. Not only did God send his one and only Son, not only did God become flesh, not only did God live a perfect, sinless life, not only did God die on the cross and was buried, not only did he rise from the grave and ascend into heaven, but this is a foundational truth of all Christianity and has been for 2,000 years, this belief that he's coming back. Jesus has promised he will return. In the same way in which they saw him ascend up into heavens, it says he will return. Jesus is coming back. Christians believe that this God who came and dwelled on earth in the human body of Jesus Christ is likewise going to return. And in that return, there will be a judgment that all the earth will undergo, and there will be a separation of the righteous and the wicked, and the righteous will be rewarded, and the wicked will be punished. This is a summary of the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We believe that. Now, there are lots of different speculations about when this will take place and how this will take place and what do we expect and what kinds of things are going to go on. That study, when you study it, is called eschatology, the study of final things. Now, I don't want you to get too caught up in that word, and I don't want you to think that my message this morning is going to be purely a book study of those things. But I do want to talk to you about what I call, again, the title of this message is the signs of the times. The signs of the times. Because what Jesus is saying here is that there will be signs that precede his return. There's going to be some signs that this is going to happen. Now, this is going to be weird for you younger drivers. Trevin, Dallas, you guys, you've been driving for like a couple years. Yeah. It used to be that if you wanted to get somewhere, you had to look for signs. And now you don't. It just tells you to turn here, right now, right now. No, too late, right? And then it makes the beep, 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 right? And then you got another thing. Do you guys remember looking at signs to figure out where you were going? Now, some of you are old school and are still doing that. But by next year, hopefully, none of us will even have to drive. The car will just take us where we need to go. It's happening. Get on board, right? There's the sign. Rebecca's like, no, I'm not going to be auto-driven anywhere. Okay, all right. Caveman. There's signs that tell you where you're going to go. There's signs that say something is happening. There's signs. And in fact, now some of you who have braved the dark world of Target have seen the signs of the times. And you know what's coming. Christmas. And it's coming soon. Now, thankfully, mercifully, I haven't been to Target in a very long time. So I haven't seen that, but I'm guessing that the signs of Christmas are all over that place. Has anyone been to Target this morning? And is it my wife? And did you spend more money there? Okay. I got a notification on the phone. Okay. There's signs! Christmas is coming! Ah! Similarly, Jesus says there will be signs of my coming. Now, they're not quite, a Christmas tree and stars and lights. So they're actually kind of dramatic things that are taking place. And his words here in Mark 13 are words that I want us to consider not so much, I don't want you to look for like a specific, like, this event or that event, but more of a general idea. So I'm going to break down three different types of general signs that are referenced here. And we're going to like explore those and see how those signs are present and have been present and what that tells us to do. That's the goal this morning. So let's start by talking about the signs in space. I love space, as you are well aware, if you know me. And I love the idea that we're on our way, soon. I'm excited about a couple of rocket launches upcoming. Hopefully there's a new Starship test flight on Tuesday. And I told my wife, I was like, listen, I know it's really tough, but do you think I could go and fly to Austin, rent a car, drive six hours, go watch the space flight, and then drive 6 hours back, and then come back and do that in about 24 hours? And she's like, you are insane. We'll see. Tuesday's my day off, so I'm just saying. I wouldn't even be missing you guys. I'm excited about space stuff. I'm excited about looking up in the stars and seeing the signs. Well, what is going on here? Jesus says, look, the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be darkened. That's going to be a sign. So let's talk about why are there sun and moon and stars? I think this stuff is really cool, so you're going to have to bear with me. What's the purpose of the sun and the moon and the stars? They're right there in the beginning of the creation. God creates them, and he says, I'm giving you these things as signs. I'm giving you these things to indicate to you my glory and who I am. The first idea, the first reason for these things is a fixed authority. A fixed authority. Look at what Jeremiah 31:35 says. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. The fixed order of the stars, the fixed order of the moon, the fixed order of the sun. This is the study of astronomy. Not astrology, astronomy. There's a difference here. Big difference. Astronomy is the study of the stars. And it's an important study. It's an important science. Because it's by the studying of the stars and the recognition of, hey, this star moves in this course, and this star in that course, and this, and it's all these different data points that by tracking that and by recognizing that, astronomers are able to come up with a whole lot of important things that we say, oh, this is how things work. It's a baseline of consistent data. Now, this past week was Veterans Day, and I had the honor of being able to do the Poway Veterans Day prayers. They had a ceremony over there at the Poway Veterans Park, and some of you were there. It's pretty cool to see you there. And were you surprised to see me there? I was surprised also. They just called and asked me, and I was like, okay, cool. And got to go and do prayers. Well, Veterans Day is on November 11th, and at 11 a.m. was the time of service. Now, did you know that there is this park in Arizona, in a place called Anthem, Arizona, and they have this cool monument. I got a picture of there. I don't know how well you can see it, but check it out there. You can kind of see it. There's these different the stones there. Each of those represent the different branches of the military, and there's a hole through them, and at exactly November 11th at 11:11 a.m. that sun goes straight through all of them and lights up the symbol of the United States of America. Now, how do they figure that out? It's called astronomy. It's called math. They figured it out because there's a fixed order to the world. This is God's design. He made all of the universe and beyond so that we could figure out what time to show up to church. I mean, like, now, by the way, they do it in Arizona so that the daylight savings thing doesn't mess around with their clock. I'm just but that's pretty cool, right? There's Jesus says, look, the sun and the moon and the stars are going to come crashing down. Even the most foundational reality is going to be disrupted. He goes on, there's not only a fixed authority of the stars, but there's also an allusion to familial authority. Familial authority. Now, all again, the scriptures tell us, honor your mother and your father. This is critical. This is so important. Why? Because they have a place of authority. You remember the story of Joseph, who's number 10, 11 out of 12 sons. He's almost the baby. And his brothers get annoyed with him because he starts to, because he's the favorite, right? And his father, Jacob, is like, hey, you get the coat of many colors. I really love you. You're the best. And all of this. And all of his older brothers are just like, grumble, grumble, grumble. We're going to kill you, etc. Well, he had a dream. Joseph had a dream. Remember this in Genesis 37, 9 and 10. He dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers. He said, behold, I've dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow ourselves to the ground before you? And so what he's saying, like, it's a very clear connection. Joseph's dream of the sun and the moon and the stars represented the appropriate authority of the family. Now, again, I don't know if any of you have siblings, if any of you are the baby in your family. Actually, I'll just survey it. Anybody here the baby? Yes, yes. How would any of you dare to tell all of your older siblings that you have authority over them? That doesn't go over well, does it? That creates friction. The disorder, the dysfunction that results when somebody who does not have the right justified position claims that position. It's not a pretty picture. And here, so Jesus is saying, look, the sun and the moon and the stars, they're going to come crashing down. There's going to be a breakdown of the established order. This is a sign of the times. This not only is there a fixed authority, familial authority, but there's a faith authority. A faith authority. Now here, we're going to move over from astronomy to astrology. Look at what Deuteronomy chapter 4:19 says. Beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. Astrology is this superstitious nonsense that has gone on for many, many years. This idea that, well, if you're born and the stars are like this, then that says this about you. This idea that you can predict the future on the basis of where what stars are happening and there. And then you know, pull out the newspaper or go on some app and it says, well, here's your horoscope sign and here's what that says about you. This is nonsense, of course, but it's nonsense that 5,000 years ago God warned against. He said, if you try and make your faith on the basis of where the stars are and what that says about you, that's not of me at all. I'm the living God. You need to worship me. I'm the one that created the stars. So don't fall for that. Don't think that those things have any authority in your life. They have no authority. I gave you those things so that you could figure out what time it is, not so that you could pretend that they have power over you. This is all here in the scriptures. So when Jesus makes this allusion, he says, look, the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be darkened. Now, some people will interpret that and they'll say, well, what Jesus is saying is that there's going to be like meteors and they're like going to be asteroids and things that are going to crash and like they killed the dinosaurs. That's what's going to happen. All right, fine. Maybe that's what he's saying. But there's clear biblical precedent to say he's talking about authority structures crashing down, falling apart. So what will you do when the authorities in your life come crashing down? What are you going to do when the fixed order of things, the very foundational realities that we live under are challenged and threatened and endangered? What are you going to do when your family starts to break ranks with you and starts to fight against you and starts to disagree with you? What are you going to do when your superstitions and your routines and your traditions fail you? What will you do if your foundational authorities are destroyed? That's a sign of the times. Look at what Joel prophesied in Joel 3:14-16. He said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord roars from Zion and he utters his voice from Jerusalem and the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. Let me present to you this morning that when these authorities are shaken, when they are darkened, when they fall apart, find refuge in the Lord. Find refuge in Jesus. When Jesus tells his disciples the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be darkened, he's referring them back to Joel's prophecy. He's referring them back to the upheaval that will come upon the people of this world, that has come upon the people of this world. And for 2,000 years since he uttered those words, there have been times where the authorities were falling apart. But the people of faith found shelter in Christ. They returned to him. So that's what we must do. No matter what happens, if things fall apart. I know that there's been a lot of heated political rhetoric over the past few months. And there's doomsday sayers on both sides. Oh, if this happens, this is the end. If this happens, this is the end. Scriptures say, everything will fall apart. Everything. But you who have found shelter in the Lord will be safe. Signs in the stars. Now let's go beyond the stars, or a little bit closer to the stars, actually. The stars, and there's something in between the stars, and it's the skies. The signs in the skies. Because Jesus said, behold, he's coming in the clouds. The clouds. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. What does it mean that he's coming on the clouds? Well, let's talk a little bit about clouds this morning. I'm not a super weather person. I was surprised at how cold it was this morning. Anybody else here? My car thermometer said 37 degrees, which is about the coldest I've ever experienced in my life. I'm pretty sure. It was miserable, right? Also miserable is when I see clouds, right? I don't like clouds. There's a lot of clouds. I prefer what is looks like today, just blue skies, right? That's my preference. But Jesus says he's coming on the clouds, so maybe if I see the cloud, maybe there's like a specific type of cloud I need to be looking for to see Jesus return. So let's consider the types of clouds. Now, some of you are familiar with the types of clouds, but I have a list here. Here's some of them. There is cirrus, cirrostratus, cirrocumulus, altostratus, altocumulus, stratus, stratocumulus, nimbostratus, cumulus, cumulonimbus, mammatus, and fog. You guys are familiar with all of those types of clouds, right? Yeah. So what type of clouds should we expect Jesus to be returning in? Is it? It's probably the nimbostratus, or maybe the altostratus, altocumulus. I don't. It's probably fog. That one's the easiest to remember. It's fog. Or maybe, and I do believe like Jesus is coming in the clouds. I don't know what that means, but I believe it. But I also realize that the scriptures give us other indications of this idea of clouds that can kind of give us some more ideas of signs we need to be looking for. And I want to do something a little bit differently this morning and give you types of clouds that are not the scientific name of clouds, but I'm going to give you prophetic names of clouds. And by that, I mean clouds that the prophets referred us to. Next year, I'm excited. We're going to do a little bit of our study in the book. We're going to study some of the minor prophets. It's going to be interesting stuff. And those minor prophets, those prophets saw Jesus. They prophesied about Jesus. So let's look at some of those in advance here this morning, a preview of coming attractions for next year. The first one I want us to consider is the cloud of Jonah. The cloud of Jonah. Now, what did I talk about when I talked about the cloud of Jonah? Well, Jesus referred to Jonah's prophecy and Jonah's life as a sign or a symbol of his life, what he would accomplish. Look at Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Give us a sign, Jesus. He answered them, when it's evening, you say, it's going to be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, you say, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and he departed. He says, look, you're looking up at the clouds. You figured out how to predict the weather of the day or the weather of the next day simply by observing the clouds. Now, how many of you have kind of developed that? If you've lived here long enough, you have an idea. Like, yeah, if it looks like this, this is what... For the past... 8 months, I have looked up at the clouds and said, up at the sky, I said, it's not going to rain today. And I have been right. I am on a heck of a streak. In fact, I just say it's not going to rain, and I'm right like 90% of the time. Praise God. You just look up at the clouds, you see there are none, and you say it's not going to rain. Now, obviously, their weather patterns were probably a little bit different, but Jesus says, good job on you. You figured out how to tell the signs, and those signs tell you what the weather is going to be like, and you know what to wear the next day. Congrats. It's probably a robe, because that's my stereotype of them. Robes, that's all they had. I don't know. But he says, here's the sign that you need to see. The sign of Jonah. It's not a cloud up in the sky. Instead, it's a story of a man who went and was thrown into the ocean, swallowed up by a whale for 3 days and came up alive again. What was he talking about? Not just Jonah. He was talking about his own life. That he would be the one who was sacrificed for the salvation of the rest of the people on the boat. That he would be the one that would be buried, that whose life would be completely extinguished, but who would rise again. The sign of Jonah is the sign of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the truth, the fundamental foundational reality that you who believe stake your life upon. That God really did do this. Jesus really did die for your sins, and he really did rise again on the third day. That he really did it, and that he did it for you. He did it for you. This is the cloud that you can look at and say, I believe that happened. Therefore, I also believe Jesus when he says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All right. That's a cool cloud. Let me give you another idea of a cloud. I'll call it the cloud of Joel. Joel prophesied that, it says in Joel 2, again, I'm looking forward to preaching these later on next year, said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. That prophecy of Joel was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the believers, they all gathered together in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And they began to speak in tongues, and there's flames of fire appeared above their heads. It was a crazy day. It's a crazy day. But before Acts chapter 2 was Acts chapter 1. Yes, 1. I thought you guys would figure that one out, but yes. And here's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, 6 through 11. They came together. They asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So let me pause on that. Again, they're asking for the very specific, what time? He's like, look, you get signs of the times, but you're not going to know the exact day. That's not how it works. That's not my clue. Instead, I'm telling you signs, right? So, here's the sign. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they looked on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Cumulus nimbus. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. What is that same way? Well, he went up and was caught up in a cloud. I think about this passage all the time during, like, graduations. Especially here, like, we have these graduation ceremonies, and it never fails that somebody brings along a balloon, you know, filled with helium. And it happens all the time. Somebody lets go of that balloon. Have you seen this before? And you're watching that balloon, and everybody just watches it to see how long they can keep their eye on it. Have you done this before? Like, what do you think's going to happen? Like, maybe it'll pop. Have you ever seen one pop up there? Like, you're just looking up, huh? And you're like, oh, I can still see it, kind of. That was a bird. And you're just looking up there. That's what it says what the disciples are doing, right? They're just standing there. Wow, that was weird. He's just there. He went up. There's a cloud. Like, maybe he's... It says they're just standing there looking. They're standing there staring up at the clouds. That's what... Like, the angels show up. And they come and stare like, why are you just staring at the clouds? What are you guys doing? I love that scene. And I think about it all the time when there's balloons flying up in the air. I think we're just like the disciples. We're just staring up there. Huh. But Jesus said, no. Don't just focus on the clouds. Because you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The prophecy of Joel is going to take place in your life. And so that's what happened. They went and they got together and they started praying. And they were just in the room praying together. Jesus, we don't know. We don't understand. We remember what you said, but we remember the scriptures, and we're desperate. We don't know what's happening. Like, they came and they killed you, and they may come and kill us. We don't know what to do. But we're clinging to your words. We're clinging to your promise. You said that power will come upon us. We need that power, oh God. We need that power. And here it came. And it was the Holy Spirit power. He filled them. And he said, you're going to be my witnesses. This cloud, this same cloud of the Holy Spirit will operate in you today to make you his witness. Don't just stand there staring up at, come back. No, go out and say, he's coming back. He's coming back. There's another type of cloud that I see here in the prophets, and this is the cloud of Daniel. The book of Daniel is really crazy. It's a weird book, man. But amongst the weird books or the weird prophecies that Daniel has is Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Think about this dream. I saw in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven. There came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Do you see this? This one like the Son of Man came in the clouds, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was given complete dominion over all the earth. Over everyone and everything, he has the power. The one who comes on the clouds. The same one who said to the disciples, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So this cloud that Daniel saw is this cloud that we need to be looking for. This sign of the times is what I will call global evangelism. The kingdom of God being proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And everybody to whom this message is proclaimed is offered the invitation to enter into that kingdom. This dominion, that we believe it. Jesus rules and reigns over all. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you are invited to enter into his kingdom. You are invited to know him, to love him, to worship him. You are invited into the throne room of the King of Kings. He's extending the scepter and saying, come. Come and dine with me. Come and be with me. And that is we don't send out, the dominion of Christ is not to go out and say, believe or die. You know, this isn't the crusades that we're coming in. You better repent or we're going to crucify and kill you. It's the opposite. We're going out there and saying, the king was crucified and killed for you. We invite you in to this kingdom. Now, when John, in his revelation, so Daniel had a crazy vision and a dream of it. John, likewise, had a crazy vision and a dream of it in Revelation 14. This is how he describes it. I looked, behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap. For the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. Now, some people interpret this and they say, wow, that sounds vicious, this great harvest. But Jesus said, lift up your eyes. The harvest is plentiful. The fields are white with harvest. And he wasn't talking about some sort of militaristic encounter. He was saying, extend to all the invitation into my kingdom. Extend to all, and they will believe. He says to the disciples, you will become fishers of men. And the net goes and brings in all kinds of fish. All kinds. Fish, wheat, harvest. All these metaphors are used to tell us this cloud that Daniel saw is that God is going all around the world to bring people in. And you are the result of that. You are part of that cloud, a great cloud of witnesses. People from every tribe, every tongue. Even in this room, people from all kinds of nations, from all around the world, God found you. In fact, when Jesus spoke these words, we here, Southern California, Poway, California, could not possibly have been further away from Jerusalem. But here we are. How magnificent this message that went to the ends of the earth and continues to go forward. This is why we support all of the missionaries that we support. It's why we pray for them, why we partner with them, why we support them. Because God's kingdom is going out everywhere. It's expanding. And it's inviting people into his presence. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood seraphim, each with six wings. With two he covered his feet, with two he covered his face. With two he flew, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. That smoke, that cloud of glory that Isaiah saw goes out even today, and it goes out in you. You are the smoke. You are the cloud of glory. You bring with you the aroma of Christ. Go. You're filled with power to be his witnesses. Give good news. Invite the people in. These are the signs of the times. The last sign I want you to consider are the signs in the seasons. So we talked about the signs in space. We've talked about the signs in the skies. And now we'll talk about the signs in the seasons. He says, look, you see that fig tree? And you recognize that as that fig tree begins to sprout its leaves, it's summertime. I can't really imagine having to figure out the seasons on the basis of the trees. Like, there's leaves on our trees. Always. Like when those leaves fall that one week out of the year, it's like, oh, what happened? It's a sign. Something is wrong. I exaggerate, but only a little. Like, what's it take to get our leaves to fall? We need Santa Ana winds to come in. It's like, but in places where the signs are a lot more evident, then you got to understand that the weather changes. There's climate. There's seasons. There's spring and there's not spring. It's weird. The seasons of our lives, you could all testify, not necessarily about the weather, but in your own life, you've been through seasons. And Jesus says, recognize that those seasons are an indication that I am coming back. Sometimes those seasons are very cold and dark winters without fruit. And sometimes those seasons are abundant, blessed, thriving, filled with fruit. Look at those seasons and say, Jesus is coming back. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." The thing I want you to recognize here about Paul's words to the Thessalonians and Jesus' word about the fig tree getting ripe. Go back to the first slide of 1 Thessalonians 5 there, Bill. Notice he says, while people are saying there is peace and security. In other words, summertime. Notice this? Not while the people are saying, man, everything is terrible, everything is awful. That's the sign of Jesus coming. No, it's the opposite. Everything's good. Everything is great. It's peace and security. The fig tree is tender. The leaves are sprouting. In other words, don't get complacent. Don't be satisfied with a peaceful and prosperous life. The American problem that all of us face is that things are really good for us. They're probably too good. Right? It's when things are hard that we are on our knees in prayer. It's when things are easygoing that we tend to fall asleep on the spiritual level. So these signs of the times that Jesus gives to us, all these different signs, foundations being destroyed, that is a bad thing. Hard time. We need to recognize Jesus is coming. But there's also this peaceful and prosperity time, security. Things are good. I don't need to worry about God, things of God. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus says, I'm coming. No matter what, Jesus has given us this indication. He says, there's going to be signs. There always are signs. But it's up to you to see them. Will you acknowledge? Will you realize that what you are observing in the world in your life today points to Jesus coming back? And when he comes back, he's going to make everything right. He's going to fix every wrong. He will bring justice to the world. And for us who believe and have faith in him, he will welcome us to his table to dine with him forever. I'm thankful for these signs. I see them all around me now. I hope you do too. Whether it's bad signs or good signs, let the signs that you see point you to have faith, to long for the return of Jesus. I want our worship team to come back up, and we're going to sing once more this song, Hosanna, that says, I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. He's coming, church. He is returning. He's returning for each of us because he loves us. He's making all things new. Come, Lord Jesus. We're going to sing this song and praise him. We're going to allow our hearts to see him, to see the signs that are all around us. Would you stand with me? And before we sing this song, I'm going to come at the end and pray over you. But also before, I want to pray over you. Go ahead and bow your heads and your hearts right now, because I want to make an offer. If you're here this morning, you're like, man, I haven't really seen these signs before. But now that you mention it, now that I see in the scriptures, I believe it. I believe Jesus is coming back. And I haven't believed it before. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see these signs. I want to pray over you. I want to pray for you. I want you to have eyes of faith to see Jesus, to know for certain that he is returning. Let him be king of your life. If you'd like me as I pray this prayer to pray particularly for you, that open the eyes of your heart, that you would be able to see the signs of his coming. Just as an act of faith, as I pray, I encourage you, lift your hand and I'll be praying for you. Lord, open the eyes of our heart to see you. Not to see the things of this world, not to put too much emphasis on them, not to focus on the temporary and the fleeting, but to focus on you who is eternal. Open the eyes of our heart. Give us insight, spiritual insight, to truly see you, to believe in you, to have faith in you, to rest in you and in your promises. Lord, your church today says, open our eyes. We lift up our hands. We lift up our hearts. We pray that you would open our eyes. Let us see your signs and believe in you. Let us realize that you are filling us with your Spirit. You are making us your witnesses. You have entrusted us with this gospel. And as it has changed us, it likewise will change others. So do a work in our hearts, O God. Do a work in our hearts. We believe in you and we love you. Amen.